Hey everyone, this is Kurt Frankum with Leading Saints, and today I'm bringing you another clip from the Liberating Saints Virtual Summit. I hope you've enjoyed these little sneak peeks as we've been releasing them day to day in this week as we're building towards the Liberating Saints Virtual Summit that launches on September 10th. And if you haven't gone to the site, leadingsaints.org/liberating, then you need to, because you need to register. And it's completely for free, and it'll make sure that you're on the list to be notified and get sent all the information when it does launch next Tuesday, September 10th. So in this clip is the one and only famous Jody Moore. That's right, folks. Jody Moore is part of this Liberating Saints Virtual Summit. She does a fantastic presentation about how to move forward in life when you are someone you love is struggling with pornography, especially those in a marital situation, right? And she gives in this clip some great tips, perspectives, three J's, she calls it, to think about and consider, kind of get your mind in the right place when you approach these, because it can, I'm sure many individuals who've experienced this know that it can just spiral out of control in relationships when somebody is struggling with pornography. So it's a fantastic clip. It's Jody Moore. She's going to be there at the summit presenting, so you should register. All right, here's the clip.
Do I think Satan's greatest tool today, one of his greatest tools anyways, is shame. Okay. And shame just says something might be wrong with me. And if he can get you to believe that a little bit, you start acting a crazy.
Yep.
And you kind of make it true. And you put distance in your marriage and in your families. And that is what Satan wants. So just be on to it.
Yep.
So I kind of want to segue this part into, I'm going to summarize like these default behaviors with what I call the three J's. Okay. So these are, again, kind of based on these default behaviors, the way it starts showing up many times for my clients. So the first J is judgment. It is very easy to want to go to judgment. Not only do we make it about us, but then also something's wrong with this other person. I think this is especially tempting if it's your spouse. I think it happens when it's your child as well, but it's maybe a little easier to have compassion on a child and think that they don't know better, but with your spouse, they should know better, right?
Right.
So that judgment of they shouldn't be engaged in this. I'll just bring this up. It maybe is a little bit controversial. You can tell me your thoughts on it, but okay. Sometimes I'll tell my clients like, look, what if we took the judgment out of this and we viewed this like, this is just no different than overeating. What if it's like, I really like brownies with ice cream and hot fudge and all this stuff on them, even though it's not good for me, even though it has a negative effect on my body, a part of me still really wants that. And your spouse or whoever this person is that watches pornography may even know, this isn't good for me. This isn't good for my marriage. This isn't good for my spirituality. This isn't serving me, but I still kind of want it, because it really is the same loop in the brain in terms of that dopamine hit that they get.
Yeah. No, I totally agree that it's like if we remove the stigma of it, right? There's so much stigma around pornography, but there's not as much stigma around overeating, because we all sort of do it. And sometimes it's hard to hide when you're in a restaurant with many other people overeating. So right. There's less stigma there, because
that's
everybody's
right.
Realized, well, we all sort of do it. We all generally want this thing. And so I think this is a helpful exercise. By removing the judgment, you remove the stigma, and that really helps you compartmentalize what's going on.
That's right. And I know people will say to me, well, it's not the same, because I can still hold a temple recommend if I'm eating brownie sundaes, and I can't hold a temple recommend or whatever the repercussion is. I get that it's a moral issue, right? Pornography, or it often can be, and that it's breaking a commandment, we could say, right? So I get that the negative of pornography is not the same as overeating. And maybe even the severity of the consequences are not the same. I totally understand that. But it literally is the same thing happening in the brain with that conflict, which I'm sure we can all relate to, whether it's with food or with shopping or whatever. We all have what I call a buffer, which is, I know this isn't really good for me long-term, but I kind of still want to do it. And that really is what's happening in the brain of somebody that's looking at pornography. It's no more than that. So just having compassion for them instead of the judgment is really, really powerful. The next J I call jurisdiction. And this just has to do with, well, what is appropriate for me? What is within the bounds of my role in this relationship? Oftentimes I see my clients wanting to control the person outside of them, which I completely understand. I wish I could control all the people too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't account for the fact that everyone does have agency as they're supposed to. And so it really is a matter of, what is my role here? If this is my child, my role is going to be different than if this is my spouse. And am I just like, if this is my spouse, my role is just to be the kind of wife I want to be. That's it. And we'll talk about boundaries a little bit later, but it really is not to control. And even if it's my child, my job is not to take away their agency. It's just to be the mom. So as a mom, I may want to have expectations. I may want to have consequences and things like that. But what is within my jurisdiction? And am I just showing up as the best spouse, the best mother I can be? Or am I trying to control this person so that I can feel better?
Yeah.
It's a really important question.
And a lot of tough part of this is that we do these things and we don't even realize we're doing it, right? Because we're responding to the natural emotion that comes. I mean, if a spouse realizes that their spouse is viewing pornography, and this is, you know, usually between a husband and wife, like that's where the intimacy happens, you know, sexual intimacy, and
right.
And this individual is going elsewhere for that same fulfillment. Yes. Like, so you want to retract, and again, I'm not saying you should and shouldn't, but right. Again, trying to understand what the brain is naturally doing so that if we understand how the brain is handling all this, that it's not our job to be judge, jury, and executioner.
Right.
And then we can better approach these for a long lasting relationship and less regret in the future.
That's exactly right. So the final J I call jitters just because it starts with J. But here's what I mean. It kind of goes along with the catastrophizing. It's the fear of everything's going to go wrong, the fear of what's gone wrong now and what could in the future. And fear. The only time I think fear serves us is it doesn't happen very often in our world today. But like if I'm being chased by a bear, I need to feel some fear. It's going to give me my best odds at survival. Or if I'm driving down the freeway and another car crosses the center line and is coming towards me, fear is going to give me that adrenaline. It's going to be necessary and help me. But otherwise, fear isn't really that necessary and certainly doesn't feel good. So it will happen on default. Let's kind of segue into what happens when we do know how to manage our brains and how to do that. I think we've identified the problem pretty well, right?
Yeah, that's great.
So I call this brain management. Okay. So the first thing that we get to do when we manage our brains is we get to have intentional behaviors. If you remember on default, we had mirroring behaviors, right? We're like, they're mad, now I'm mad. They're withdrawn, I'm withdrawn. So intentional behavior is just, I choose who I want to be. It's a lot harder than just mirroring. It takes a little bit of practice, but it's totally available to us. So it looks like, hey, this person is kind of cold and angry at me, and I don't want to be cold and angry at them. Now, it doesn't mean that I want to go hug them necessarily, but I can just be in a place of like, okay, that's okay. Maybe he needs space, or maybe, you know, she has something going on. I'm just going to choose to feel calm and peaceful. I'm going to choose to be who I want to be. I love Byron Katie always teaches that it takes two people to fight. And she says the first act of war is defense. So if somebody is mad at me and I get defensive, now we're in a fight. But if someone can be mad at me and I can just be like, I'm so sorry you feel that way, and not get mad and defensive back, then there's no fight. There's just one person there who's angry, which doesn't feel very good for them, but I don't have to be. So yeah. I don't know. What are your questions or thoughts on that?
And this is like the constant battle that I hear that you're always fighting. It's like, you're not saying that this is super easy and why don't you just do this? I mean, but again, like we're just getting back to taking a moment to think, okay, what does our brain naturally want us to do and react to this? and I'm going to choose to respond differently. And again, it doesn't mean you have to stay in the room and then suddenly turn into this Christ-like figure that's just so loving as the other person wants to fight. Sometimes I notice in my own life, I just have to separate myself and remind myself, it's not my job to change how they're responding to this current situation. I'm going to retract myself for a moment so I can regroup, and then I'll come with it with a more sound mind to the situation, responding how I truly want to respond, right?
That's exactly right. Yes. It's not to say that you should just be able to do this at the snap of a finger.
Right. And it is a skill set, right? It takes practice. Right?
Yes. That's what I was going to say. When you can practice it in the little less emotionally charged moments, it becomes a lot easier to do it in these bigger situations. So, and like you said, giving yourself some time. I'll just share one example of, I had a call I was making with a potential client, kind of a sales call, if you will, about whether or not she was going to work with me. And I was 10 minutes late because my previous call had gone over, and she was so upset with me when I got on the phone. And just luckily she went on for long enough that I had time to kind of coach myself in my head, because she was like, this is unprofessional, and just on and on about how she left her doctor's appointment early, and on and on. And I finally just kept telling myself, she's mad. Let's not be mad about her being mad. Let's not get defensive about her being mad. Let's just let her be mad. Let's not try to talk her out of it. And let's not try to justify our own self. And so I just said, you know what? I'm so sorry you're mad, but I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. You can totally be mad at me if you want to. And you might be right about all those things. It might be totally unprofessional, and you know, some of it I don't agree with, but you're certainly entitled to think whatever you want to. What do you want to do? You want to talk to me now, or you want to go? I'm so sorry that you feel this way. Like, really, I just kept saying, you're totally allowed to be mad at me if you want to. And she calmed down. We had a great conversation. She ended up becoming a client of mine, but it was a really powerful way that I was like, oh my goodness, you totally can do that. Someone can be mad and you don't have to be. Crazy.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so on to the next point, focusing on the now. So again, if you remember, on default, what we do is we catastrophize, right, about the future. So what I tell my clients is, listen, when you're going through something challenging, like, oh, I just found out my child looks at pornography every day. The more intense your crisis, the shorter you want to keep your lens. Okay, so the brain will do this naturally at times. Like, back to the example of, if I'm driving down the road and a car crosses the center line, my brain is going to go right to, how do I survive the next 5 seconds? Immediately. It stops thinking about, what am I going to make for dinner? And I hope the house is clean when I get home. All that's gone. It's just like, how do we not die right now? But when it's not quite that catastrophic, you can manage your brain to do that. So what I'll tell my clients is, like, what if we don't worry about when your child, you know, 15 years from now, when your child's supposed to go on a mission? What if we don't worry about whether or not he'll ever find a spouse? What if we don't worry about whether or not you and your spouse are going to stay married even in the next 2 months? What if we just think about today? What do you want to do today? And who do you want to be today? Because the brain is trying to solve for problems that don't even exist yet. And so it can't get any traction. We can't really problem solve when we don't know the facts. We can't get creative and strategic and find solutions when we don't even know what the problem is, because we've only made it up. But whatever's happening today, we have information about, we can make wise decisions, and we can deal with anything happening right now in the present.
Yeah. You know, one kind of silly tactic that sometimes works for me is, you know, as far as this concept of worrying, you know, we sort of want to worry over these things when we catastrophize.
Yes.
And some people say, well, I schedule my time to worry. So they say to themselves, yeah, I'm not going to worry about this now, but tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., I'm definitely going to worry about it then. I'm going to set apart some time to worry about it then. And whether they go through that motion or not, like, just the action of reminding the brain that, like, the action of worrying does absolutely zero for us. Like, it doesn't change anything. It just,
that's right,
just builds stress in our own brain, in our own body, right? And so plan it, then schedule your time to worry and see if that mm-hmm. works.
I've actually advised clients to do that before, because I want them to see that you can. They'll say, I don't know how to not worry. How do I stop worrying? But as soon as you say, I'm going to worry tomorrow at 9, it's on my calendar, you notice that, oh, I am able to redirect my brain. Notice that I can postpone it. And then when you sit down and try to worry on purpose, it doesn't feel nearly the same as it does when you're just letting your brain go wild. So yeah. it's a great exercise to try. And then we kind of talked about this a little bit, but again, when you can recognize, wait a second, this is not about me. It's genuinely not about you. Other people's behavior comes from their thoughts and their feelings. Even if it's their thoughts about you, it's still their thoughts and they choose those thoughts. You are neutral in the situation. So it's never about you. This is a great thing to remember when you have a problem, but even I'm always reminding myself of this in my work I do as a coach when I want to be like, oh, that podcast wasn't as good this week. And then I remember, oh, wait, it's not about me. Remember, let's just go help some people. And if I didn't sound as intelligent as I wanted to or whatever, who cares? This isn't about me. So that's one of my most favorite thoughts, but I have to remind my brain of it all the time.
That concludes my clip with Jody Moore. Again, she is presenting at the Liberating Saints Virtual Summit, and this is only, 14 minutes of an hour or so presentation she gives, and it is phenomenal. Worth the price to attend. It's free. I mean, everything's worth the price to attend, but really, this is high-quality value and presentations. I can't wait to share it with you. Again, go to leadingsaints.org/liberating, and there you can grab your free spot, register. It's going to be fun. Thanks, guys.